this scripture to kind of help us connect with one another and prepare our hearts to celebrate the gift of Holy Communion comes from Revelation 21. And it's actually going to be verses 1 through 7. It's a scripture that actually Robin and I have heard lifted up in different ways and different opportunities as we've worked with the changing of annual conferences and moving from Troy Conference into New England Conference. And it's a scripture that's been used to help keep us grounded in the midst of all the changes that the conference is facing. But you know, we live in a world where we've been going through lots of changes in our own lives, here in the church. And again, it's a scripture that helps us to stay focused on that journey through change. We live in a community that's under change, that's in the midst of change. You travel up and down North Street, and if you were part of the finance committee and trying to figure out how to fit a porch sale in the midst of all the changes, you realize that the changes that we're going through as a community affect us in real ways. Revelation, of course, John writes this down. He's in the midst of a world that's filled with pain and suffering and all kinds of struggles. In the middle of it all, because of his faith, he's cast out. He's tossed out onto this island of Patmos. He's locked up in prison. In Revelation, we hear a lot about his vision, the details, and some of it's hard to understand, and some of it's hard to take in. Chapter 21 is the next to the last chapter, the final book that we have in what we call the Bible. So let's listen to what John writes. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Hear that again. "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And he who overcomes will inherit all of this. And I will be his God and he will be my son. So to God be the glory, and may God continue to add his blessing, not only to the reading and to the hearing, but to the coming alive of this word in our lives every day." I am making everything new. These words jumped off the page at me as I was preparing for today, because new is one of those things that I really, new is one of those words that kind of brings an excitement to you. How many people here like to get new things? Okay. How many people like to meet new people? How many people want to celebrate a new day after you've just had a bad day? New is one of those words that kind of makes us jump inside a little bit. It makes life seem a little bit lighter. And here John says, as he hears from Jesus, "Behold, I am making everything new." And I couldn't help but think of the contrast in these words when you look at the community around us. When you look at the street out front. When you look at all the mud. When you go through all the potholes. When you try to find a way through all the traffic control while construction's going on during the day. But yet, in the midst of all of it, things are being made new. Sometimes the things that need to be made new in a community are not the things that we see. It's not a new tree. It's not a new lawn. It's not a new coat of paint. Sometimes the things that need to be made new are way down deep in the ground and have been in service for many years. Some of those things have worked really well. And some of those things haven't worked so well at different times along the way. New water lines will mean for more effective delivery of water to homes for a whole lot more years. The hope in replacing that kind of infrastructure is that you cut down on repairs in the future. The fact that you're able to get federal, the fact that the town's able to get federal money to help make those changes makes it all the better. There's new valves, new curb stops. Everybody's seen them popping up. You live on North Street, you see them popping up on your lawn in a different spot. Sometimes they're a pain to think about how you're going to mow around them. Sometimes you figure you just wish you could mow the grass again and not have to deal with the dirt and the rocks. Let's see if you're my son. But those valves are important. If you've ever had a water line in your house break and haven't been able to shut it off, you know how important they are. And the drainage system that's being made new. You know, I've been blessed not to have to use my kayak to get out of the driveway. But other people have seen the days when that's happened. When the storm drain system just couldn't take all the water. It needs to be replaced. It needs to be upgraded. It'll be able to stand those storms in a better way. Making everything new. But it's hard work, isn't it? It's hard work for those that are doing it. It's also hard work for those in the community that have to deal with it every day. And wonder if it's ever going to be made new. Wonder if it's ever going to be done. And those thoughts were at the very heart of John, I think, when he was seeing this vision and speaking out to us today. Sure, it's being made new, but when's it going to happen? He goes right on after that to say, he hears Jesus say to him, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And it's done, it's finished. But John writes this in a time when it didn't look finished. So how could he say these words boldly? How could he smile? How could his tone of voice lighten up? Because he'd walked with Jesus. He knew the faithfulness of the one that was speaking to him. He knew the one that was in the business of making everything new. He knew that he could trust him. He knew that he could trust the others that were on this journey as well. John was locked away in prison, but he knew there were still others that were out sharing the faith. He knew there were others that he had equipped himself. He knew there were others that had walked with Jesus and were equipping in the midst of their own trials too. He knew that he could trust them as well. Journeying, you know, sometimes the things that need to be changed in our lives as Christians, the things that need to be made new, we just wish that God would change the things that are on the surface. We wish that God would provide that new outfit that might make the day brighter. You know, clothes make a difference. A lot of people said when I came in, wow, you've got a bright dye on. Certainly that's going to bring the sun out. No, it won't bring the sun out, but it brightens the day up. Those things on the surface make a difference. Sometimes we wish that God would just give us a new car so we didn't have to deal with the repairs that come unexpectedly. Sometimes we wish that God would give us a new body so we didn't have to deal with the creaking and groaning and all the challenges of different medical conditions that come with aging. But sometimes God doesn't make us new that way. Sometimes God gets way down in deep and changes the habits and changes the way we think, changes the way we relate to others. And changes the ways that we let others relate to us as a part of that making new process. And that's not a neat process. It's kind of like the street being dug up out here. It's a little bit messy. There's a whole lot of learning that comes along the way. I talk to many people every week that are dealing with those kind of changes in their life. Sometimes I hear people talking a lot about the construction out front and the fact that people, you know, it seems like such a waste of time to dig a hole, do a little work, fill it in, come back the next day and dig it all up again. But yet, if they didn't do that, the only other option would be to shut the water off and leave the road closed for 3 months. That wouldn't work either. In the same way, sometimes as God is in the business of changing things in our lives, we can seem like we're coming back to the same challenges over and over again. Like we can be dealing with the same situation day after day after day. And it's important to remember in the midst of those moments that God is making everything new. That every morning God's faithfulness, God's mercies, God's love is fresh and that we can draw from it. And then when we're in places that we can't draw from it and the weights just seem so heavy, we need to learn to listen to those around us that come alongside to encourage us. That we're not in it alone. That God is in the business of making everything new. That's why Jesus prepares us, Jesus gives us the gift of sacrament, of the sacrament of communion. Being able to come together and celebrate the fact that where two or three are gathered in God's name, God is still with us, making everything new. All down through the ages. All down through the ages, the prophets had been talking about Jesus. They'd been talking about the day when a Messiah would come. And when He would really make things new and He'd get rid of all the oppression they were dealing with. He'd get rid of all the suffering that they were dealing with. That day had come, but not many noticed it. Jesus couldn't even find room in the inn. Mary and Joseph had to find a stable where He could be born. It didn't look like God was making everything new. And then Jesus began to grow, just like all of us grow. And He had to go through all the stages of life, just like each of us has to go through all the stages of life. And as He went through those stages, He grew in favor with God and with men, Scripture tells us. And people were watching all of this, especially His mother Mary. She pondered these things in her heart as she watched Him grow and as she watched people grow. And He wasn't only making new the lives of the people that He met and brought healing to, but He was making new the lives of those that He loved and walked with Him the closest. His disciples, His students, the people that He was teaching about life and helping them to understand what the kingdom of God was all about. And helping them to understand that even in the midst of trials and tribulations, God was still making everything new. And as His life, as He prepared to come to the end of His life, as He knew the cross and the resurrection were getting closer, He didn't give in to the pain and to the thought of saying goodbye and how difficult that was going to be. Instead, He drew the disciples even closer. And He got them ready for what was going to come ahead. And that's what He was doing that night when they gathered in the upper room. When they came together as they had on several occasions before to celebrate the Passover feast. It was the night before He was going to give up His life. You remember the story. And it was there in that room that He listened. And He continued to listen. And we hear in the Scriptures the things He was listening to. He listened to the disciples that He loved so much complaining and grumbling about life. He listened to them argue about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And who was going to get to sit next to Jesus when this new kingdom came to be. Everybody was so busy dealing with things in their life, there wasn't even anybody willing to get up and to wash the feet of those who had come. So Jesus did it Himself. He humbled Himself to care for them, just as He was going to humble Himself to death on the cross to care for us. To take our sins upon Himself in order to make everything new in deep and wonderful ways that we often can't even comprehend. And in the middle of all of the tradition that they were celebrating, in the middle of that Passover feast, which was filled with specific dishes being passed in specific ways, and words that were being spoken at specific moments, Jesus did a new thing. He picked up the bread. He gave thanks to God. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread. He said, "This is My body, just given for you." To continued to celebrate as they had so many times before. Jesus continued to do a new thing in His heart and in the table. And as the supper came to an end, Jesus took the cup. And again He gave thanks to God. This time for the fruit of the vine. He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, and it's poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this often, and as often as you do, drink it in remembrance of Me." Jesus knew at the very heart of God making everything new was forgiveness. Forgiveness that He was about to pour out in ways that people could never dream of. Forgiveness that He knew that each and every one of us would need to live out every day of our life. Forgiveness that we would need to learn to receive for ourselves and to offer to others as we journey through life. Because He knew that making new was a process, was a journey. Verse 7, the closing part of what I shared with you. He says, to the one who overcomes all of this, they're going to inherit all of it. They're going to get it all. I'm going to be their God. They're going to be My people. He knew it involved the journey. He knew it involved the road that we had to travel. And so we gather today with people in all times and all places by the work of the Holy Spirit. We celebrate Holy Communion. We celebrate the fact that God is still with us on the journey, still making all things new. So let's join our hearts together in prayer. Good and gracious God, we give You thanks for the amazing ways that You make all things new. We pray that You'd forgive us for those times when we become impatient, when we become frustrated, when we take for granted Your grace that's involved in making all things new. Lord, we pray that You would continue to work deep in our hearts and our minds to change us from the inside out, that we might know and live out the abundant life of love and grace that You intend for each and every one of us. We thank You that You understand the challenges that come with change. We thank You for Your grace in the midst of it all. And we pray, Lord, that You would continue to pour Your Holy Spirit into this time and into this place and to make us new. We thank You for gathering us here today. We thank You for these gifts of bread and juice. We pray that You pour out Your Holy Spirit and let them be the bread of life. Let them be the living waters of Your love and forgiveness. Pour out Your Holy Spirit on the church gathered all across the land, in all times and all places, the church that You're working through to make things new. Equip us, empower us, give us boldness and courage to share the power and hope and love that You bring in fresh new ways every day. Lord, pour out Your Holy Spirit and continue to make Your church one all across the land until that day comes when You would return and lead us to that heavenly banquet table where we'd share in that promised land filled with hope, less all the tears, where we never say goodbye again, where we never have to wrestle with the challenges of change. Because Your steadfast love will be our light each and every day. Lord, we thank You for Your presence and for Your promise in this place. As we ask all of this and so much more, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This morning, as you probably may have noticed, we're going to serve communion a little bit differently. It'll be served in the pews. And so our ushers, Bill and Chauncey, will come forward and they'll bring the bread around and deliver that to you. And at that point, after we've all been served a piece of bread, I'll stand up and invite us to share that with one another. And then we'll do the same with the cup. Thank you. Jesus said, "This is the bread of life. Share this in remembrance of me." Said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins."